Our next speaker is Brother Steve Gottberg from all over the country. But anyway, Steve's been coming down to Montgomery and preaching some for them lately, and I told somebody the other day, I said, well, I'm anxious to hear him preach. I haven't heard him since 1989, so real anxious to hear him. And I appreciate him in the Lord very much. Steve, come and preach for us.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Gosh, that was yesterday. The days are long, but the years are short, huh? It was amazing coming in tonight. It's great to be with you all. It was amazing coming in. It took about 30 minutes to get from that door to the back to see Brother Jack. There's so many people I haven't seen in 15 and 20 years, and it was just, it's great getting reunited, great to be back in Alabama, let me tell you that, too. For sure. All three of our daughters were born in L.A., and having a chance to come here to Upper Alabama, it's almost as nice as Lower Alabama, but it's great to be with you. Three things when we're studying the Bible. Ask you a question. What do you believe, and why? I mean, why do you believe what you believe? You heard Brother Robbie up here, and it was great, had a chance for, you know, Brother Jack said we lived all over, and that's about right. We lived about an hour and a half from the Sipes family 10 years ago or so, and got to fellowship with them a good bit. But you heard Brother Robbie talking about putting your faith in this. You know, there's spiritual warfare big time going on out there, in case anybody hadn't noticed. And there's one simple way to wipe out Christianity. Find one mistake in this King James Bible, and you can wipe out Christianity. But there is no mistake in this King James Bible, is there? So, what do you believe, and why? And as Brother Barry would follow up with that is, if you died tonight, where would you go? And why? Okay. Second thing, turn to Acts 17, if you would. Second principle when you're studying the Bible, you know, you're here for a weekend conference, you're going to hear some great, great teaching. So know what you believe, first of all. Secondly, as Brother Robbie said, just because somebody says it up here does not make it true, does it?
Right.
And here's the second principle you need to follow when you're studying your Bible. Okay, Acts 17. Let's pick it up in verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. You wonder why there's so many grace churches called Berean Bible Church. Pay attention to the passage here. To Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble. Why? Listen. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. Okay, so make sure, just because you hear something up here preached, make sure you go back and test it by this King James Bible and make sure whether those things are so. Second principle. Third principle. I always carry this little cheat sheet with me. I need to read it. Miles Coverdale, you know, we're celebrating the 400th birthday of the King James Bible this year, 1611, 2011, that's 400 years, even in Texas, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, but Miles Coverdale wrote one of the first English Bibles. Of course, our authorized version is King James Bible, but here's a statement he read that will greatly help in understanding your King James Bible. And he says, it shall greatly help ye to understand the scriptures, if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after. Can anybody think of one word that might represent what that's saying? study context. Thank you. Let's just write that. I'll try to write it real big here. Context. Well, I blew it already. That's maybe a little too big. I needed a smaller markers, Brother Jack. Okay, context. And I hope I didn't mess that up too bad. But context. And something about this word context. It is so key. It is so key. Watch this. You know, because here's why. If you take the text out of context, you're left with nothing but a con. And unfortunately, how often does that happen? Way too often, right? So, those are the three principles. What do you believe and why? If you died tonight, where would you go and why? As the corollary. The second, be like the Bereans, be noble like the Bereans, search the things that you hear preached from up here. And then last of all, make sure you keep it in context to understand the scripture. Now Brother Jack gave me some markers and I'm going to cover up the board anyway. You can't see, this is a map of the great state of Alabama. And of course right here in the center, the great city of Montgomery, where Grace Bible Church that Brother Barry started many years ago is located right there. And I may like to talk about Brother Barry later, but if I start now, I won't get very far. One of the most five influential men in my life in the last 5 years, probably the most influential man in my life. But right here in the center, Montgomery, how many people, if I may, let's just say go back to January 1st of this year. How many people would consider, let's just say, how many of you would consider yourself relatively new to this term, rightly dividing the word of truth? How many would care to, great, thanks for sticking, okay, I got about 14, I think, on that count. You're going to hear this term all weekend over here on the board, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'd like to just maybe share a quick analogy with you here. You know, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you think of it like a map, you know, it's funny. So here's Montgomery, right in the center of the state, right? And depending on where you are, there's going to be different directions that get you to Montgomery. Okay, if you're up here in Birmingham, you know, if you went to the directions, real simple, you jump on I-65 and head south. You're down here in Mobile, you get on 65, but you head north. Both roads get you right to Montgomery. The key is, where are you at the time? Where are you? Now, in this case, we're talking physically located. I could be over here in Columbus, Mississippi, and I could find some directions. I'm heading east. I could be in Atlanta. I get on the right road, heading west. Okay, those roads are going to get me there. Okay, the gospel of Christ. You heard Brother Robbie lay it out so clearly. It's a pretty simple gospel, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And then he was buried. And then he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Okay, the key is, those are our directions, if you will, for salvation today. Okay, we need to get the right directions. That's what rightly dividing the word of truth is all about. You see, there's about 80 pages. If you start at Romans 1:1, you don't need to turn there right now. But if you start at Romans 1:1 and went through Philemon, that's about that much of your Bible are the right directions for you. And you've got to get the right directions, because if you're in Birmingham up here, and you read the directions that are to the people in Mobile, and you get on 65 and you head north, you're going to get kind of lost, aren't you? And you've got to get the directions that are to you. And so again, I'm just making a little analogy there, but that's how it is in the Bible. You see, there are, believe it or not, there's a few different gospels throughout time in this Bible. That's why we rightly divide the word of truth. So those of you that maybe new to the term. Don't worry, we were all new at one time. I'll never forget 1982 studying under Brother Jerry Lockhart at the house of the gal who's now going to be my wife for 28 years next month. Gosh, how the years fly. But it was about the fourth or fifth week I'd been at that Bible study, and I said, Jerry, time out. Called him Jerry back then, Brother Jerry, but Jerry, time out. You keep using this term, rightly dividing. What do you, by the way, let's make sure we read that. 2 Timothy 2:15 is probably on the, anyway, just again, for those that may be new, what do we mean by rightly dividing the word of truth? I said, Brother Jerry, time out. You keep using this term, rightly dividing. What do you mean by that? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is, it's dividing it to those 80 pages right there that are our instructions for today. Okay, again, you got to make sure you're in the right area and get the right directions for the area. You got to make sure you're in the right time period. You know, it is, some people might call this a coincidence, but it's amazing. You know, the last parts of this book were written roughly 2,000 years ago. Will you give me that? Roughly 2,000 years ago, and yet look, there's some pages after this section, Romans to Philemon. How about that? Well, you know there's going to be another set of directions for another time period if you look and study the timeline down here. There will be people in the future that get saved, if you will, by a different gospel than what we get saved by today. That instruction set is right there. How about that? What a coincidence. It just happened to follow right after the part that's to the grace dispensation in which we live today. Wow. Coincidence. Something else about this map. Ladies, help me. Show of hands, ladies, in the past 12 months, if your husband has reached into the glove compartment and pulled out a map to get directions to where you're going, how many can raise their hand and say, yes, that happened in our car? Not one, maybe one back here. How about the last 5 years? Ladies, the last 5 years. I got one, two, three, four. I guess I should put my glasses back there. You see. Okay. Doesn't happen too often, does it? Why is that, gals? Navigate. Well, okay. I'm sorry. Show them off. The great part's coming out there. Navigation. Okay. Brother Jack says they know where they're going. Any other words come to mind, ladies? Thank you, Barbara. Pride?
Well, perhaps the GPS
also. Yes, that's it. Pride keeps us from reaching in and getting those directions. Because what has to happen before we'll actually reach in and get that map out? By the way, GPS, if I may, I had to stop at 3 gas stations to find a map. They don't even have them anymore. What has to happen in the days when we use maps for a man to reach in and get the map out? What has to happen first? He's got to get lost. How about that? You see another analogy here, because you see, just like the verses that Brother Robbie read for us earlier, when Christ died on that cross and he shed his blood, and actually we're going to go back and read some things, but a man's got to get lost before he can go in and get the directions to get back on track. And of course, I'm going to make the analogy here to get saved. You got to get lost before you can get saved. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Different set of directions. Let's make sure we're getting that clear up front. While you're turning there, just think about maybe somebody that lived up here northeast of Montgomery. there's this guy named Noah. And there's a set of instructions in this book. It's probably just a few pages. But it tells him what to do to get saved. Tells him exactly how to go build that ark, doesn't it? Now, you could go read that set of instructions, and I doubt you'd ever get finished building that ark if you built it the way Noah did. How long did it take him? 100 years. Okay, different. That was the instructions for Noah, right? Okay, we're going to look at another set of instructions here in Exodus chapter 12. And of course, this being the time just before Moses takes the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? The 10 plagues, right? The 10th plague. And let's just start over here in verse 21. Exodus 12, 21. Actually, start in verse 3. So the Lord speaking, verse 1, to get the context, like I said earlier. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Okay, in verse 3. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying. So he tells Moses what to say, right? And Moses and Aaron what to say. So in verse 21, Moses gathers together the men of Israel, and he tells them what the Lord had just told him to tell them, which is this. And we're going to read beginning in 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take ye a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the... Thank you. Blood. Dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And strike the lintel... And strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. And why? Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth... How about that? The blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Okay, and of course we know the story, the firstborn male child. Right? So again, a set of instructions right here, and maybe that's for this group over here, you know, they got their set of instructions how to get to Montgomery. Okay, a set of instructions here. Maybe this is one night physical salvation for your firstborn male child. I happen to be sitting at a table over here with a young couple, 7-year-old boy, firstborn male child. Now I would ask Chris, do you understand what you need to do to save your son this night if this applied to you and we were at that time? Absolutely. All right, now what if Chris was standing there? And first of all, so Chris follows this, he's there, they kill the lamb, capture the blood. Why was blood important, by the way? Hebrews 11, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins, right? It took blood, it's always taken blood. Christ, it's not just that Christ died on the cross, is it? When he died, what did he do? He shed his blood, didn't he? Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He suffered on that cross. A horrific, if you saw the Passion, I mean, that's one thing they probably at least showed correctly, is all the blood. But you know, praise God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. He was paying the penalty. You know, the wages of sin is death, right? In Romans 6. He took our place for us. He became sin for us. Okay, so Chris could have been there, he could have killed that lamb, could have dipped the hyssop in there, gone back to his house, you know, put it on the lintel on the two side posts. Chris would have been great, right? He'd have been saved from the death angel that night. Question. So Chris was there and he heard Moses say, I'm going to use the term gospel, if you will, the good news for that night. Okay, and please don't... I'm not taking this out of context. Please don't you take it out of context either. This is for that night only. But Chris was there with Moses, and he heard. And Chris said, yep, I believe. If I go kill the lamb, catch the blood in the basin, and dip it on my lintel and on the two side posts, my son will be saved. What if he didn't do that. And that death angel comes that night, and Chris says, no, no, wait a minute, I believe, I was there when Moses said it. I believe that. Where's the blood? What did it say here? When I see the blood, I will pass over that house. Okay, it's you know, you have to believe it in the first place. I mean, if Chris didn't believe it and didn't go do it, then it wouldn't matter. But so he had to believe first, right? To save them that believe. Another verse that Robbie read, wasn't it? Same thing here, getting lost. Okay, so if I may, figuratively speaking, when did you, you know, what do you believe and why? If you died tonight, where would you go and why? When did you apply the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he hung on that cross for your salvation? When did you do that? Robbie said, it's an event. It's not a process. Amen. My wife got engaged to get married. It was a process, but there was an event. Brother Jerry said, I now pronounce you man and wife. Second before we weren't, second after we're married, right? Mamas, you remember that firstborn, male or female? There was a split second where, you know, you're going through a process. It's a little agonizing, right? But there was a split second where you were not a mama, and a split second later, you're a mama, right? You remember that? Anybody here not remember that? Actually, parts of that, I guess it's a good thing women don't remember all of that, because we have two and three and more children, right? Otherwise, we'd all just have one. Anyway, like I know, okay. Let me try another one. High school graduation. High school graduation. Everybody remembers the date, right? I don't. But do you remember the event? Were you inside the gymnasium? Were you outside in the football field? Where was the event? Doesn't matter if you remember the date. It doesn't matter if you remember the time. You're going to remember the circumstances about that great event, right? And then we took our hats off and threw them in the air. Remember all that stuff? I remember who was sitting on my right, but I can't remember who was sitting on my left. You get the point, though. You remember the event. What greater event in your life is there than your salvation? The day that you get saved. And if you're having trouble thinking about that event, if you died tonight, where would you go? Why? It's an event, people. And just like some of us sorry guys that just would not admit we were lost enough to reach in and get the map out for the directions. You know, Brother Robbie laid it out as clear as can be on this gospel and how you're saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Just trust in the fact that 2,000 years ago when he died on that cross, just like the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins, okay, and he shed his blood to pay for our sins. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, for those of you that are maybe newer to the grace movement, you might want to even put a marker in this, because you'll be going here often. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 19. The very end of 2 Corinthians 5. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Watch verse 21 here. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, Christ knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Wow, that's a pretty strong verse. He made Christ when He hung there on that cross. He made Him to be sin for us. Why did He shed His blood? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. That's why He's called the sacrificial lamb, right? Why did we stop? You know, why don't we sacrifice lambs anymore? Why did they have to do that for thousands of years? You know, yeah, you can go do that tonight, but at best, you're going to get locked up in the funny farm somewhere. Okay, you're following the wrong directions, going the wrong way. And it's one thing to be in Atlanta and, you know, get on the road and you read the ones from Mississippi that said, head east, and if you're in Atlanta and head east, okay, maybe you end up fishing. Follow the wrong road here, where do you go? I think Montgomery's hot in August. And I don't mean to make light of that one single bit, gang. How many, if I may, how many people are between the age of 15 and 25? 15 and 25. A great group back here. Okay, I got about 17, I think, if I counted that right. Maybe you think, you know, no big deal. We'll wait till tomorrow. Yeah, I hear what he's saying, but, you know, tomorrow's another day. Is it? I told you my three girls were all born in Lower Alabama. Let me take my youngest daughter is a senior in high school this year. Wow, I'm going to be empty nesters. Unbelievable. Is a senior in high school. And when Brother Jerry, when we lived in Houston, and Brother Jerry would come over and lead a Bible study in our home, you know, she was in a very small school. Matter of fact, her school, and let's see, at that time she would have been like 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th grade. And she had the biggest class in the whole school from K through 12. They had 22 people in their class. This school usually graduated between 12, 14, 15 high schoolers every year. Let's just take her class. While we were still there, so she's in 7th grade, one of her best friends, I'm sure nobody in here, I left my cell phone in the car on purpose. I'm sure nobody in here has ever, you 15 to 25 year olds, I'm sure none of you have ever texted while you're driving, have you? Well, that was the last thing my daughter's best friend's oldest sister did as a freshman in college. Was that maybe 19? Had just said goodbye to her parents after Christmas holidays to go back to college as a freshman on the volleyball team. Got about 5 miles up the interstate. Yeah, I realized texting was... texting on the interstate, lost control, went through the median, and of course it couldn't be a VW bug, it had to be an 18-wheeler coming the other direction. And tomorrow there. That was an event. Let me give you last weekend. House that my daughter that I'm talking about now, who's now 18, senior in high school, last weekend. Probably Brother Zane over here from Colorado, he may even have heard it on the western side of Colorado. It's a leading story on the news to today even. House she slept in many times. Pretty fancy house, one of these big fancy neighborhoods at this friend's house, right? Very successful man. Last Saturday night, not even a week ago. Now there was a 10-year-old girl living with them, so let me set this up. So you have the couple that lives, that owns the house, and their youngest daughter is also a senior in high school. Good friend of my daughter's. The wife's brother has become a meth addict. He's in jail for 2 days. So his wife and 10-year-old daughter are living in the same house with the couple that own the house. 3 o'clock in the morning, the little 10-year-old girl is screaming bloody murder because her bed is on fire because there are two men in there that poured gasoline on that bed to light her on fire because they were there to kill the mama. Because the husband, who's a meth addict, is that crazy, I guess. So yes, the mama is killed that night by these two men. The husband of the home is killed. Now it so happened that my daughter's friend was gone and her mother was gone for that weekend, which is probably why it was planned for them. You understand, gang? We don't know. These people lived in a $2 million home. It happens to anybody. You think you have tomorrow just because you're 15 to 25? I don't think so. Oh, by the way, let me tell you about one more little girl that was in that 7th grade class. Yeah, she and her boyfriend were coming back from college about 6-7 weeks ago. Car accident, both of them killed. Okay, I mean, you're saying, yeah, you're giving us all these stories. I'm just giving you reality. It's a small little class, 22 people in the class. I mean, come on. You know, we all have stories like this, don't we? I'm standing here before you because Brother Barry's not is the reason I'm standing here before you tonight. And I'll never forget, it was January 2006 and I get this call from Brother Barry. Hey Steve, and we hadn't talked in a while. Little did I know how much that one phone call was going to impact my life and change my life. Matter of fact, September 30th, 2010 is the day I met Zane. Brother Jerry's flying into Denver to do a conference with Zane, and while Brother Jerry's in the air is when we're all getting the calls from the Montgomery Church that Barry didn't wake up that morning. Let me give you some others. For those of you that don't know Brother Barry, you know, I think the last time I was really with this group was the first time that Brother Barry preached after his 10-year-old son was killed in a horrific automobile accident, 10 years old. And I'll never forget Barry telling me, the only way I knew it was my son is when I saw the red sneakers on his feet. It's the only way I knew it was my son. You know, yeah, if I could scare the hell out of you, I'd like to do that. That's what it took. December of 2009, Barry and I were trying to help a company get started and flew Barry up to Minneapolis in December. And there were two other couples that we flew up there. So that's three couples sitting at the table with us. You already know the story of Brother Barry. Let me tell you about one other couple there. January 1st, 10 weeks ago? January 1st, 8 weeks ago? January 1st. Now, not that couple. They're fine. 30, so not 25, but their 30-year-old daughter-in-law. Not feeling well. Goes upstairs to take a nap. Middle of the afternoon, during all the games, quiet of all times to go take a nap. She did not wake up from that nap, 30 years old. Nothing wrong. You don't know if tomorrow is coming. You don't know if the last saint to be saved might be tonight. And of course, when that happens, we shift from the 80 pages to the next section. And it isn't a pretty section. When did you say, I'm lost? Okay, I admit it. I'm going to quit trying. I'm just going to start believing. I'm going to reach for the roadmap, the 80 pages to me, find the right gospel for my salvation because it's different before. There's many different ones before, and there's a different one after. See, go to 1 Thessalonians. Thank you. 2 Thessalonians. You see, we talked about the in 2 Corinthians 5, right? The reconciliation. He reconciled the world unto himself. Keep your hand here in 2 Thessalonians. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Let's, again, always let the Word do the teaching, right? Second Corinthians chapter 5 that we read earlier, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the saved people, the people that would get saved in the future, unto himself. Does anybody's Bible say that?
The world.
Well, wait a minute. If he died for the world, how do people end up in hell? Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Okay, 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, picking up in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why did they perish? Let's find out. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Watch this. In case any of you are in one of these groups that every Sunday, God is love and let's get happy about it. And God, you know, God loves everybody. Verse 12, that they all might be damned. That's what my Bible says. Damned. Does yours? Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Who sent them that lie? God. Why? Because they wouldn't put their faith. He gave us His Son who died on that cross, shed His blood, died a horrific death, willingly gave up His ghost, the ghost, shed His blood for our sins. We've been reconciled. You've been reconciled. You know, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you've been reconciled. All you have to do is put your faith in it. It's that simple. That's what salvation is. I mean, does it get any better than that? By the way, read all the pages before these 80 pages and all the ones after, and it's tough. It's darn tough. That's why Christ finally came. And who did He die for when He died on that cross? Sinners, right? So, you know, it is amazing. First, gosh, there's 14 places I want to go right now. It's great to be here with all of you today. It's great coming back together again. I mean, there's, like I say, so many people I hadn't seen in 15, 20 years. The days can be long, but dang, the years are short. But for some of us, they might be a whole lot shorter than we realize. And all we got to do is quit trying and just start believing. It is that simple. Salvation is a free gift. Okay, the work's been done. All we have to do is believe. When did you get lost? Okay, what do you believe and why? And as Brother Barry would ask you, if you died tonight, on the way back to your hotel, where would you go and why? Make sure you know the answer to that question.
Amen.